God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. If you are new to us and want to find more about who we are and what we do have this brochure. It's in the back part of the sanctuary. If you have any difficulties, certainly ask an usher or someone else. They'd be happy to direct you to it. What it does is it allows you to find out things that are happening, certainly in our faith community, inside the church and outside the church. So once again, just feel free to pick one of those up after the service. Inside your bulletin this morning is a lavender slip. And it does a few things for us. It lets us know, obviously, that you're here today. If you fill that out, you can fill out your name and your address and contact if there's any new information. That gets dropped in the offering plate during the offertory later on in the service. But we're also a community of faith, and we want to know the joys and concerns that are happening in your lives. So the other part of that prayer slip allows you to fill out that joy or concern. You can put that on there, and that at the appropriate time, there's a prayer time later on in the service. Those will be collected by the ushers and shared during the service. If you want to know the order of the worship this morning, it will both appear in your bulletin and on the screen. And if you have a smartphone, you will find on the back part of those slips that are in your pew a QR code, quick response code. You can go ahead and scan that, and that will also take you through the worship order of the service. If there's things that can make your time with us more easy, and certainly things that we can address, one of which is restrooms, certainly out to my right, your left, you can follow the signs back there. We do have child care available also if you have little ones or if you need to sue them or yourself. We do have rocking chairs in the back. We do have a safe sanctuary policy in our church that we want to make sure that everyone is safe. So if we have young ones, please accompany them throughout the sanctuary or the church, certainly when they leave the service. There are a number of opportunities today for Christian discipleship. Those are in your bulletin. Let me just point out a couple quick things to you. Actually, we'll do that at the end. But let me first go to Peter Swords. He did have a quick announcement, and I'll get back to those two items.
Thanks, Steve, and good morning. I'm happy to announce that since this fall, when our church made and passed a resolution to support sanctuary for immigrants, we've been continuing to take action, both behind the scenes, and there is going to be an actual public action, and you're invited. The public action is going to be a press event on Monday the 11th of December at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's a week from tomorrow, at All Saints Roman Catholic Church in their sanctuary, and it's to announce that several churches are providing physical space for sanctuary for undocumented immigrants, including All Saints and Temple Concord, and that Plymouth and University Church and St. Lucie's are supporting that. So we get to actually stand up and say, we are doing this. That's what we're doing publicly. And behind the scenes, we have also been supporting the Workers' Center with meeting space and training space. So thank you so much, University Church, for doing this. If you have questions, see me or Nelson or anybody from the Church and Society Committee. Thanks very much.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Certainly up on the screen right now is just a couple of announcements, one of which is we do have a potluck Advent dinner. This is our annual tradition here. We welcome you, encourage you, would love to see you down there after the service this morning. Follow down the stairs to Fellowship Hall, that's 11:30. And then also it's our annual pecan sale. They're here again. So if you need to do some Christmas baking or other types of baking and you need to get your supplies for that, we do have pecans available to you. Our service today is going to be led by Pastor Alicia Swords, and our liturgist today is Barbara Fote. Let us continue our worship. Wood. What is it? Did I say Wood? Did I say Ward or Wood? I'm sorry. It's Alicia Wood, not Ward. That's right. Anyway, sorry about that. Alicia Wood is our pastor, and Barbara Fote today will be our liturgist. Let us continue our service.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Wow, it's a great morning. Well, good morning. I'm Alicia Wood. I'm the pastor here, and I am so honored to be here and be the pastor and be here to greet all of you this morning. Okay, so we're going to begin. So let's take a deep breath in, exhale it out, and relax. But remain aware. Angels are among us. You will be meeting them today. The angels that appear in the story of Jesus' birth would have been comfortable with our world of tweets and hashtags. Their messages were often short and to the point, their favorite line being, hashtag, do not be afraid. As we look at the stories of these winged messengers to Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, we will contemplate what messages we can offer that will fly in the face of a culture of fear and bring more hope, more peace, more joy, and more love to our world. We often expect you will turn off your phone in church, but during this series, we ask that you keep them handy and take photos if you want, post them to Facebook, send out messages and tweets, or any of the things that you use on social media, so that others can hear and experience what we're doing here. And just keep in the series hashtag, do not be afraid. Or today's theme is hashtag, more hope. Today we hear of an angelic visit to Zechariah. It was just another day at the temple for Zechariah. It was his priestly turn to make sure everything was done perfectly and in good order. But it turned into something quite different when an angel showed up at the altar.
Just as the angels came to reassure Zechariah that he was part of the unfolding of God's plan, we too can have confidence to let God's plan unfold for our lives. Would you please rise if you are able and join me in the call to worship, followed by the same sung response, Do Not Be Afraid, the one the choir just sang. But now for our call to worship. Holy living God, blessed Jesus, guiding spirit. Grant us openness to hear your message. And with the angel messengers above us, let us, among us, and within us, we sing together.
Do not be, afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
standing and join in singing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, number 196 in the new pew hymnal displayed on the screen, and I believe Dale will be leading us. Well, that was Amy, not Dale. And doesn't she look like an angel up there? You just dressed for the occasion. That's great. Well, I would invite you to share in the hope of Christ with your neighbors. The time we connect with each other, every time we do that, hope grows. So will you please greet one another?
Would the children please join me for the blessing of the children? And as they come forward, let us sing them in, surely the presence of the Lord. Good morning. How are all of you? Yeah? Good. Okay, so today is the second week in the year, which we call Advent. It's a time of waiting and preparing for the coming of Jesus. So let's prepare our time together by praying. Will you do some hand signals with me? Will you do them with me? We did this last week, and you might remember them and you might not. So here we go. As I speak, I'll do the signals too. Will you do them with me? Yeah? Okay, great. All right, so, dear Lord, our ears are open to hear the angels sing. Let's do the angels. Our hearts and minds are open to the message they bring. Amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Absolutely. So, we just prayed that our ears, our hearts, and our minds are open. But my eyes are open too, and so some of you might have spotted some evidence around here. Last week they were here as well. Who is among us? Who is among us? Angels are among us. Did anyone have a pew or a feather in their seat? Did anyone have a feather? You did? Did anyone else have a feather in your seat? We'll have to disperse. You did too? We're going to have to disperse them greatly. Those angels aren't losing enough wings or enough feathers for us to take home. Okay, so feathers. I wonder, I lost track of my spot. We read about angels throughout the Bible, but not all angels of the Bible have wings. But there are something special about what they all have in common. They are all messengers of God. One of the most important messages is hope. And so last week we talked about peace. Does anyone remember how we do the sign for peace? Does anyone remember that? Think back. It's this. Or not peace, we just said joy. Wow, I can't believe that was, next week is peace. So last week was joy. Joy is this. Joy. Can you do it with me? Joy. You know, like when you're excited. And so this week is hope. And this is hope. Can you do hope? Your thumbs are near your palms. And it's like this. Can you do hope? This is hope. Okay. So there is hope. So when we talk about hope, we can all do the sign, the American Sign Language sign for hope. Hope is more than just wanting something. Hoping is expecting something to happen and having the confidence that it will. When we hope for something, we don't just sit around and wait for it to happen. We get ready. We prepare. So let's each take a feather. All right, will you take a feather? You have a feather? You have a feather? All right, can you give one a feather to Jim, and then I'll give you a feather? And you have a feather? Someone snuck a white feather in here. I wonder if an angel did that. Here's a feather for you.
Father, Eve, Adam, true heaven, earthly rain.
Feather for you. Feather for you. There you go. All right. All right, so as you hold your feather, imagine wanting friends to come over to your house. We could just sit there and just wait, and maybe they would come over. But what might we need to do to prepare for our friends to come over? Yeah? We might need to call and invite them, right? Yeah, what else would we need to do to prepare? Have them some food prepared? What else? Any other things that we would do to prepare our house for? Yeah. When they come over, you want to play with them, so you want to get your toys ready or your craft ready if you want to do a craft, right? So you prepare for your friends to come over. You don't just sit there. So the other thing you might do is clean. Does anyone know about a feather duster? Have you ever heard of a feather duster? You might need to clean a little bit, clean up a little bit, right? And so that's one of the things you can do with your feather as well. So I actually have one other thing that I'm thinking about. We've kind of stopped doing this, but I'm hoping, this is my hope, that we can do it again. And I'm telling the congregation and I'm telling our children that I'm hoping that the first week of each month we can go collect whatever the congregation has brought in for the pantry. Okay, remember how does anyone remember doing that in the past where we'd pick up, you do? Okay, good. So I'm hoping we can do that again and we'll start making announcements about that, and that will be your job. So now I want you to make your hands into a little nest like this, okay? Little nest, all right? And you can put your feather inside your nest. As you gaze at your feather, I want you to think about something that you hope for. And one thing you can do to prepare so that what you hope for will happen. So let's do that for a second. What are we going to hope for? All right, so you are going to be able to take this feather home so you can remember your hope and how you're going to prepare for that hope to come. So I'm going to say a prayer, and at the end, will you say amen with me? Thank you, God, for the message of your hope. Give us wings to share your message with the whole world. Amen. Amen. All right, so you can go sit back with who brought you and bring your feather with you. And next week I will see you again, and we'll see what we have up here.
The congregation has a part in today's drama, so be ready for your part. To understand the life of Jesus, I must first give you some background history, events that occurred when Herod ruled Judea for the Roman Empire. Zechariah was serving as a priest in the temple in Jerusalem those days, as his fathers had before him. He was a member of the priestly division of Abijah, a grandson of Aaron who innovated temple practices. And his wife, Elizabeth, was of the priestly lineage of Aaron, Moses' brother. They were good and just people in God's sight, walking with integrity in the Lord's ways and laws. Yet they had this sadness. Due to Elizabeth's infertility, they were childless. And at this time, they were both quite old, well past normal childbearing years. One day, Zechariah was chosen to perform his priestly duties in God's presence, according to the temple's normal schedule and routine. He had been selected from all the priests by the customary procedure of casting lots for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to enter the sacred precincts of the temple. There, he burned sweet incense, while outside, a large crowd of people gathered praying. Praying. Suddenly, Zechariah realized he was not alone. A messenger of the Lord was there with him. The messenger stood just to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was shocked and afraid, but the messenger reassured him.
Zechariah, calm down. Don't be afraid. Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Your wife is going to have a son, and you will name him John. He will bring you great joy and happiness, and many will share your joy at John's birth. This son of yours will be a great man in God's sight. He will not drink alcohol in any form. Instead of alcoholic spirits, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the time he is in his mother's womb. Here is his mission. He will turn many of the children of Israel around to follow the path of the Lord their God. Do you remember the prophecy about someone to come in the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah? Someone who will turn the hearts of the parents back to their children? Someone who will turn the hearts of the disobedient to the mindset of the just and good? Your son is the one who will fulfill this prophecy. He will be the Lord's forerunner, the one who will prepare the people and make them ready for God.
How can I be sure of what you're telling me? I am an old man, and my wife is far past the normal age for women to bear children. This is hard to believe.
I am Gabriel, the messenger who inhabits God's presence. I was sent here to talk with you and bring you this good news. Because you didn't believe my message, you will not be able to talk, not another word, until you experience the fulfillment of my words.
Meanwhile, the crowd gathered at the temple, and they wondered why Zechariah hadn't come out of the sanctuary yet. Wonder why Zechariah hasn't come out of the sanctuary yet. It wasn't normal for the priest to be delayed so long. When at last he came out, he was making signs with his hands to give the blessings, but he couldn't speak. They realized he had seen some sort of vision. When his time on duty at the temple came to an end, he went back home to his wife. Shortly after his return, Elizabeth became pregnant. She avoided public contact for the next 5 months.
I have lived with the disgrace of being barren for all these years. Now God has looked on me with favor. When I go out into public with my baby, I will not be disgraced any longer.
When the time was right, Elizabeth gave birth to a son. News about the Lord's special kindness to her had spread through her extended family and the community. Everyone shared her joy. After all these years of infertility, she had a son. As was customary, 8 days after the baby's birth, the time came for the circumcision and naming. Everyone assumed he would be named Zechariah, like his father.
No, we will name him John.
That name is found nowhere in your family. Zechariah, what do you want the baby's name to be? Zechariah motioned for a tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." Everyone was shocked by this breach of family custom. They were even more surprised when, at that moment, Zechariah was able to talk again, and he shouted out praises for God. A sense of reverence spread through the whole community. Wow. In fact, this story was spread throughout the hilly countryside of Judea. People were certain that God's hand was on this child, and they wondered what sort of person John would turn out to be when he became a man. When Zechariah's voice was restored to him, he sang from the fullness of the Spirit a prophetic blessing.
Amen. Well, good morning again. Our scripture today was shared so well, and I want to thank the group for bringing this scripture really alive. So thank you, dramatists. This scripture from Luke is just so juicy. We could talk about several different aspects of this one scripture, excuse me, from many, many different aspects, including Elizabeth barren? Why was she to blame for all of this? And on and on. There's so many different things here I would love to talk about, but I will stay on topic. As we find Zechariah and Elizabeth in our text, they have aged. And because Elizabeth is barren, they have no children. The story and the expectant birth of John the Baptist is the prequel or part of getting prepared for the birth of Jesus. Zechariah and Elizabeth have hoped for a baby for many, many years. The angel really startled Zach, and it seems Zechariah didn't really take the message from the angel at first. Zechariah actually started arguing with the messenger, with the angel, saying, "I'm too old. How can this be?" None of us have ever argued with God before, right? I think we have, right? This was a real wake-up call for Zechariah. He not only was to have a child at an old age, after many years of hope, he was unable to talk about the expected birth until the child was circumcised 8 days after his birth. Once again, hope shows up in parenting. In our book study, we have discussed the importance of fathers and parenting. I wonder how much of John the Baptist's passion for the gospel was nature and how much was it nurture of the father of Zechariah and of Elizabeth, who were startled into parenthood. Maybe we could read between the lines and know his parents, who waiting for many, many, many years for a child, nurtured him so that he was ready to be by Jesus' side and proclaim the gospel. Sometimes the waiting can bring us down. Zechariah and Elizabeth held a heavy burden for many, many years without children. I have shared my lament over gun violence and poverty and racism in the United States. The opposite of hope that derives from fear is despair. Sometimes the waiting is not only waiting, but the fear that can get in the way, the fear that can enter in. Rhonda Britton, in her book, Fearless Living, said, "Fear is the gatekeeper of our comfort zone." Waiting in Advent or any time, our hope is not to be passive. Let us not let our fear get the best of us and stop us in our tracks. We long for a world of inclusiveness, equality, joy, peace, love. We long for heaven on earth. In fact, we pray for it each week. Have you ever heard the expression, "We are God's hands and feet"? Have you ever heard the expression that we are God's hands and feet? I hope you have. Okay, good. God cannot do this alone. Here at University Church, we have places to get involved. Places such as greeting and hospitality. Places such as church and society. Places such as the outreach team, and other places as well. All of these things are open to everyone, seated here or anyone who visits and just wants to get involved. They are open to all. We have these meetings posted in the bulletin so that all of you know you're invited. And if you want to know more about what these groups are doing, please find someone and ask. You can start with me, and then I'll tell you who to talk with. The Church and Society team is working on changing systems of oppression. And the outreach team are the boots on the ground. They're the ones handing out the food, giving the clothes, and giving out diapers. So know that there is a way to get involved and be God's hands and feet. These are open to all. So I also want to level with you as we talk about despair and hope. We need to rent our second and third floor of this building. We need to rent it. We are working on the budget for 2018, and it is looking really scary. And so, oh, good. And so we need this. So we need you to pray about this. We need you to pray. How about we, right now I'm deciding this. How about every day at 8:30 in the morning, everyone take a minute and pray together wherever you are. You can be in separate places. 8:30 a.m., put it on your calendar, put it in your phone as a reminder. 8:30 a.m., we are all going to pray that our space is rented, our second and third floor are rented until it is rented. Okay, will you do that with me? That is being active in our waiting. Okay, and so when we rent our space, more can happen, but this is a real thing for us. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. So, that looks like a parking spot, doesn't it? I see hope in a parking spot. Has anyone noticed there is no longer a pastor parking spot on the University Avenue side of the church? Has anyone wondered why is it gone? What happened? Did the pastor move out? Is she not coming back? What's going on? So, what does it say now? It says visitor. I see hope in a parking spot. I am waiting. I am anticipating. I am hopeful that we will have a visitor that comes to this space to check us out, to find out where is God in this? Where is God in my life? And they can easily find a parking spot right next to the building. I find hope in a parking spot. We can feel hope in watching this church grow. We can be a part of growing the church. Well, why would we do that? Because we know the love of God that spills out of us so that we ache to share God's love. We long for others to know this unending love. Let us live in the anticipation and hope that we reach new people on Sunday mornings through breakfast and through worship, on Fridays at our pantry and Friday community, and Thursday evenings at our second worship service that will be beginning in January. We can find hope in Jesus. Jesus taught us to pray. He taught us to love one another, to eat with tax collectors, to give kindness and compassion to a stranger. He taught us that we all deserve second chances and forgiveness. And Jesus showed us nonviolence. This long-expected Jesus gave us and gives us the hope that there will be peace on earth. All people will receive their fair share, and love never ends. And this doesn't happen without God, and without each of us. Angels are meant to be a wake-up call from God. Do not be afraid. Today, maybe God is sending you a wake-up call, just like he did Zechariah. And maybe you'll be startled. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid when God calls. Stop arguing with God about your call. Stop arguing about your purpose. You are loved. You are equipped. Hope resides in you. You are purpose-filled. Do not be afraid.
You have been born for a moment such as this. Amen.
Much to think about. As we move to a time of prayer, if you would like your prayer read aloud, please pass your prayer slip to one of the side aisles and the usher will pick it up as they walk down the aisle. I do believe there are angels among us, as evidenced by what we see above us. We can be messengers of more hope. Hashtag more hope. Flying in the face of fear, for God, Emmanuel, is truly with us. And as we pass these prayers in, let us settle our hearts and minds. And if you're comfortable, join in singing the call to prayer.
In this moment, we pray for those who have found hope in their life and those who really need hope to be with them today. We thank you for your steady message of hope and those among us who are boots on the ground for your love. This week, we are aware of the World AIDS Day celebration that was held here at University Church this past Friday, and thank you for those who work to bring hope to an end to this disease in this country and around our world. For all whose lives proclaim your reign on earth, we join their refrain. Do not be afraid.
Let us join together in a time of prayer. We will first pray silently, and then I will lead us in a prayer, and then please join me in the Lord's Prayer. In whatever language you feel closest to God using, let us have some silence in prayer. O God of hope, we know we have so much to be thankful for, including all those angels among us. But we confess we're sometimes afraid. Afraid of waiting, afraid of pain, of death, afraid of our identity or what others think of us. Afraid of making a mistake, that there'll be no second chances. Afraid for those we love. Afraid that if we really do answer that call from you, what changes we might have to make. Give us hope to be your messengers, hope for the future of this congregation and its financial support, hope for the addicted, hope for the sexually abused and harassed, hope for safe streets, hope for the sick. Give hope to caregivers, to their friends, to all those mentioned in prayer this day. Hope, God, for our city, and hope for peace in the world. Will you join me together and pray the prayer Jesus taught us? Creator God, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
What a wonderful day to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So I'm just going to give you the nuts and bolts of it so that we can talk, so that we can go through the liturgy after. Okay, so when folks come forward, the ushers will invite you to come forward. They'll start in the front and work their way back, and folks coming this way will come up this aisle, and they will be greeted with several faces. One will have bread, and it is gluten-free bread only. And then next to that will be a one big cup. And if you'd like to receive Holy Communion through intinction, you save your bread and you dip it in the grape juice. We only have grape juice. And then you eat it. If you would like to receive Holy Communion not by intinction, you take your bread right away and eat it. And then you skip the big cup and you go to the little cups and you drink of the little cup. And then there's a basket that you can place your empty cup in. And then you can exit down the outside row and come back up. And the similar thing will happen on this side. You'll come up this way, and you'll be greeted with similar faces with the same elements, and then you'll go out that way. Okay? And if you are so moved during this time, you are welcome anytime to come forward and pray at the communion rail, okay, at the altar rail. All right. Paul's letter to the Hebrews includes a wonderful word. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. As we enter this season of Advent, it is right and good that we gather at this table of Jesus Christ, whose ministry was centered in showing hospitality, inviting us all, no matter whether we feel at home in our faith or at times we feel like strangers, to know the grace of God that is already there and always awaiting us if we will but be open to it. Let us set aside any hesitation, any obstacle to the invitation. In this silence, we offer to God our confession of the ways we turn away from the fullness of love. Know this, the things you have confessed before God, and even those things you have no words for at this moment, are all being lifted away by the wings of God's love. Be assured of your freedom as given and beloved children of the most gracious God. And all God's people say, Amen. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the beginning, you set everything in motion, creator of heaven and earth, with bold ingenuity. You splashed the sky with light and stars, sun and moon, wind and clouds, rainbows and winged ones. With a word, you brought forth the waters, the waves, the mountains, and the valleys. And you called forth our lives from the dust and called it good. And so we proclaim this ancient song with all the saints and angels. Holy, holy, holy God, power of God of might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. You sent your Son, Jesus, your message made flesh, to dwell among us. Harbinger of hope, Prince of peace, cup of joy, bread of life. Through Jesus you gave birth to your church and sealed a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and he gave thanks to you. He broke it and he gave it to all of his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so as we anticipate the birth of hope anew, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ will come again. Touch us, O Spirit, with your transforming power. Open us to your promise of resurrection from fear and death. In partaking of these elements, make us a people ready as your body in and for an anxious world. Let us become your messengers of hope in all that we say and do. Make us one in this purpose, O God.
Oh, we believe there are angels among us, called within us, not just from up above. You give us hope enough in these times of trial to show us how to live. You teach us how to give. You call us to be light and love.
All are truly welcome to the table. Will my servers please come forward? What are you doing? What element?
We're going to now enter a time of giving, or maybe I should say giving in a different way. I'd like to remind everybody to put your attendance slips, the purple slips, into the plate if you didn't hand them in at the prayer request time. The ushers will be coming down the aisle. And if you are a first-time visitor here, we do not expect a donation from you. For others of you, you know our tradition of giving here, and we're grateful for all that you do as a symbol of our ministry here in this place and beyond. So let us bring our tithes, our offerings, our donations at this time.
I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Peace to everyone, oh, I am here. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I claim you as my light. Come and rest in me. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine.
The spirit messengers are surely among us. Give us eyes to see and courage to listen. Please remain standing and join me in this unison prayer of dedication. Gracious God, your love is extravagant. Your forgiveness is unceasing. Your commitment to showing up through your messengers is unwavering. May our own hearts overflow with such graciousness toward one another that we too become your messengers of hope. Offerings as a sign of gratitude for all we have received and a symbol of our commitment to show up for one another with all we have and all we are. Amen. In today's world, Christmas songs ring through the air, on the radio, in stores, just about everywhere we go. So let's take these encounters as messengers, foretelling the good news of the presence of God coming once again in Jesus Christ. This week, when you hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing, stop for a moment. Breathe a prayer that hope will invade the world like a gaggle of angels descending on humankind. This is hymn 240 in your pew hymnal and displayed on the screen. Hark the Herald Angels.
I think it's Advent now, right? Wow. All right. So you can stand or sit as you are comfortable. This week's meme quote is by Martin Luther King Jr. We must accept finite We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Each week, your mission should be should you choose to accept it, is to spread the message. So I'm inviting you to be hashtaggers and posters of hope, and to Facebook, and to tweet it, and Instagram, and Snapchat, or quote our meme for this week, and hashtag it, more hope. The meme is posted on all of our social media today. Now, if this all sounds like Greek to you, and you are not into social media, I invite you to take this insert in your bulletin and send it to someone, give it to someone, take a photo of it and send it in a message. Whatever you can do in whatever channels of communication are available to you. Because this is so true. We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. So let us turn towards this candle here, the candle of hope. It's in the center of our sanctuary, and sing to one another the message that we must take to the world, which is also our benediction. Go now in peace.